because of foreign wars we wage. More to do with the colors blue and red. Too many laws, too much government. Can you tell me where the Constitution went? The Bill of Rights is just hanging by a thread. So many people trying to cross the border. Politicians build a new world order. Too many minds are convinced they should be led. I've gotta be free the way God made men. And I won't be ruled by the dancing west. Taking your rights to self-defense. They say you're safe, but they don't make sense. Not turn into guns. All the unions always ask for. All we buy is made on foreign shores. Come a day when there'll be real hell to pay. I've gotta be free the way God made men. And I won't be ruled by the dancing.
Hello and welcome to today's broadcast of Tap Into the Truth. Hope you're having a fantastic day wherever you are and whatever you may be doing, with all the usual caveats, of course. With you as always, I'm your ever so humble host, Tim Tapp, coming to you live from historic Roane County, Tennessee. That is, of course, if you're here for the live broadcast. Many of you actually are listening afterwards. And that's perfectly okay. The numbers in the archives, if you're listening wherever you may listen to podcasts, those numbers are much larger. And we have an ever-expanding terrestrial radio family. So some of you guys are listening in at KYAH 540 AM, Utah's Talk Authority. Or you may be listening at WCET 101.7 FM, Columbia, South Carolina. And in both of those instances, you're getting to hear me in the mornings at least a day after the broadcast, in some cases maybe longer. So just for reference, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, and all your furry friends who may also be riding along with you listening, just for your reference, this at the time of the live broadcast is July 23rd, 2019, and it's just a little after 8 p.m. Eastern time as we're getting started here. So I want to thank all you guys for hanging on and being along for the ride. And just a quick reminder, I am asking for those of you who are listening at WCET 101.7 FM in Columbia, South Carolina, please reach out to me and let me know that you're listening. You can do that either by going to the Tap Into the Truth Facebook page and sending me a message there, or you can go to the website for the show. It's Tap Into the Truth, T-A-P-P, IntoTheTruth.com. And from there, near the bottom of the front page, the home page there, you can actually send me a message. I'll see those. If nothing else, just let me know you're listening and that's where you're listening at. Now, if you happen to be listening at any of the other stations, feel free to reach out as well. The invitation is open to everybody. But I am trying to get a feel for how many of you folks are listening. And if you want to give small critiques or make helpful suggestions, as long as you're polite and respectful, I, of course, am always open to such things. Now, I've already dallied too long. There's way too much to talk about. I'm going to have to jump in here if I'm going to have any hope of finishing. However, if I don't finish everything today, watch for it to show up in the next show because some of this stuff I just got to talk about. Also, as a programming note, this is the Tuesday Night Live show. The Wednesday Night Live show will have both Dan Perkins and Ron Edwards as our guests. So be sure to tune in for that. And if you're not listening in the live shows, that will probably be your Thursday and Friday morning shows if you're on the terrestrial station. So by all means, tune in. Look forward. I'm going to be enjoying it. I hope you will, too. Now, obviously, there is so much stuff going on out there. I know we've got these new immigration reform issues that Donald Trump's trying to push forward that, of course, have leftists and the Democrats up in an uproar, and they're going to be pushing back against it in court. And, of course, we know the Robert Mueller testimony is upcoming, and Democrats are holed up, practicing, preparing, being ready for the grand political theater. So I know there's lots of questions on your minds, lots of things for you to be concerned, but you know what? I know the real question that's on your mind. I know what you're just dying to find out, something you're not hearing very many places. So how many illegal migrants were detained in our much-publicized ICE raids? Well, I suppose it probably at this point doesn't surprise you that it was much, much fewer than expected, and certainly far fewer than advertised, in what appears to be partly the result of the highly publicized nature of the operation. And then you throw in as well left-wing activists and politicians working to kind of intervene. Only, and I say this with all due respect, only 35 criminal illegal aliens were actually arrested by Immigration and Custom Enforcement last week. The arrests, of course, were made after a series of raids that targeted over 2,100 migrants guilty of committing crimes in addition to that of having illegally crossed our border and be living here, you know, illegally. It's not the only crime these folks committed. So what we had is, of course, is after delaying the operation for a few weeks to give Congress a chance to negotiate on border security measures, the Trump administration gave the green light to a series of ICE raids last week targeting, like I said, over 2,100 illegal aliens who, quote, pose a threat to national security, public safety, and border security. Now, the operation, according to the New York Times, targeted thousands of immigrant family members and warned might result in collateral deportations. You know, that nasty little, ooh, if they find out there's more illegals in the household where these criminal illegals are living, they may take you all. So they noted that these raids had the potential to bring in more illegal aliens than just those targeted by ICE. But with all the publicity, in part promoted by Trump's announcing the raid early on and quite publicly, and of course the help of illegal migrant advocates, the raids, they appear to have fallen way short of the expectations. New York Times reported also that just 35 people were actually detained. All the publicity, the Times suggests, may have prompted many of those who had been targeted, the 2,105 people to be precise, in more than a dozen cities who had received final deportation orders but had not reported to Immigration and Custom Enforcement officers. It may have prompted those folks to, you know, temporarily leave their homes or maybe even to move altogether to evade arrest. The advance warning about the impending raids also gave migrant advocates time to counsel families about their rights, which includes not opening the door or answering questions. You know, while on social media, community groups shared detailed information about sightings of ICE agents as they moved through communities and made their way here and there and, you know, everywhere. Quoting from ICE Acting Director Matthew Albience, quote, "I don't know of any other population where people are telling them how to avoid arrest as a result of illegal activity." This, of course, was him speaking to the New York Times again. He continued saying, quote, "It certainly makes it harder for us to follow through with these orders that have been issued. You don't hear ICE talking about it before the operation was taking place." As the Daily Wire highlighted ahead of the raids, while ICE would not provide specifics about the operation due to law enforcement sensitivities and the safety and security of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement personnel, a spokesman did offer an explanation of the priorities of the agency to the New York Times, saying, quote, "As always, ICE prioritizes the arrest and removal of unlawfully present aliens who pose a threat to national security, public safety, and border security." Now, that we already knew. He also said, as for collateral arrests, the spokesperson said that that was indeed a potential result of the raids. While the agency prioritizes detaining those who pose a threat, quote, "all of those in violation of immigration laws may be subject to immigration arrest, detention, and, if found removable by final order, a removal from the United States." So, according to early reports, the raids were scheduled to take place in at least 10 cities, including Baltimore, Chicago, Los Angeles, Miami, and New York. Trump announced the raids online last month before delaying the order, and we saw how this played out, which unfortunately played out much as it was predicted ahead of time, in a way that simply was not going to be particularly effective if your goal was to actually bring in these migrants. However, it did send a strong point in so much as for political gamesmanship, we moved forward, letting all of this lie solely on the actions of those activists and those Democratic politicians holding office and those Democratic presidential hopefuls for suggesting and recommending that the United States become a completely and totally lawless land in which people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is currently out there spouting that if you can make it to America, you should automatically be granted citizenship. Yeah, I'm not buying into that. In the meanwhile, there's your update. 35 out of a targeted 2,100. 35. That's it. I would hardly say it was worth the effort if all you were really trying to do was play political games. All right, going to shift gears here. But before I do that, going to welcome some folks into the chat room. Bigfoot Chief and Kel Fritzy, who just finished up another great program over at Infidels Are Watching, part of the Global Patriot Radio Network, just a little while ago. They have all crept in, tiptoed very quietly. Thank you guys for being here. I appreciate it, as always. And now I'm going to have a little discussion in regards to, well, have a little discussion in regards to something that's going on in Canada. This is actually a story that when it first broke, Kel actually brought it to our attention when she does her monthly Canadian correspondentship here with us every first Sunday of the month. And it's really moving forward. And those of you who have seen the title of today's show already can guess what I'm talking about. We have this situation ongoing that's kind of getting out of control. But we have this situation ongoing in Canada where it's not really so much in Canada. We really have this situation going on where there seems to be a running gun battle, if you will. There's this contest between social justice warrior mentalities here in the United States and in Canada. Everybody wants to be the wildest and the craziest and the most LGBT friendly. So a little while back, there's this so-called trans activist who decided that he wants to be a sheep, was going to end up suing these folks because they refused to give him a Brazilian wax, okay? Because of the nature of the protected class status of LGBT, particularly in this case trans, this gentleman who runs around and says, "That's ma'am," a lot. It's not the same person, by the way. This Canadian man, and I'm going to continue, name is actually Jonathan, likes to be called Jessica. Jonathan Yanov is attempting to legally coerce these women now into waxing his scrotum because this trans woman, this biological male, has done nothing biologically to change their body. They haven't done the self-mutilation thing yet. So we've got this circumstance where it's kind of been ongoing. Now the case is coming up pretty soon. In fact, this week, the Human Rights Tribunal in British Columbia, which Kel has described to us in the past as being a quasi-judicial body that was created by the Human Rights Code. Well, this week they held hearings on whether or not female beauticians should be forced to handle male genitalia. The complaint, known until Wednesday under alias JY, owing to a court gag order, is Jonathan wants to be Jessica Yana, a self-identified transgender woman. Now, Yanov has filed 16 different complaints against the estheticians in the past year. And I am intentionally using the appropriate pronouns as opposed to their preferred pronouns. He argues that as a transgender woman, being denied services on account of his gender identity was discriminatory. And this went on about Twitter, and somehow he ended up getting into this Twitter beef with another known active feminist activist, and ended up getting the feminist booted off Twitter because it eventually broke down to the ending bomb of, "At least I have a vagina, you fat man," after several insults about her vagina. Now, I've yet to figure out how exactly his attacks on her equates to her being the victim. It was simply a case of two people being mean to one another on Twitter, and I think it probably should have been left at that. It did not. Some other things were transpiring and going on as well, as there has now been a lifting of the court order ban, this gag order, because all of the previous bad actions from Jonathan has been kept quiet. Evidently, Jonathan has a penchant for young girls. There was this article that I came across just about an hour and a half before showtime, claiming to be an exclusive for the outlet thepostmillennial.com, if you are so inclined, where now these past behaviors are being brought to light. And this exclusive involves a 15-year-old alleged victim of Jonathan Yanov, and they're coming forward. Jessica Rumpel, evidently, the young woman who allegedly was engaged in inappropriate sexual behaviors online when she was between the ages of 14 and 15, has confirmed that she now has filed a child exploitation report against Yanov with the cyber tip on the incident. So this young woman has come forward with rather serious allegations of abuse against Jonathan. And in this story, they talk about Yanov being a male-to-female transgender that has recently risen to infamy for the Human Rights Tribunal suits that he has taken out against 16 of these estheticians. You know, because they didn't want to touch his twig and berries. They are accustomed to dealing with women, and just because you claim you're a woman doesn't make you a woman. And I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, I need to go out to my driveway and look at my Ford. And I like my Ford. I love my car. I really do. It's great. It's fuel efficient. It gets me where I need to go. I put a lot of miles on it. But if it really worked that simple, I just need to go out to my driveway and start chanting, "My car's a Ferrari. My car's a Ferrari. My car's a Ferrari." Or maybe a BMW if I just want to feel fancy. I don't know. So you get my point. Reality can be both objective and subjective in some occasions, but truth is always objective. You can have experiences that are different than what most people will have, and that will be your truth. But it just means in the reality of the world is you had a different experience than most. You may be an outlier. That doesn't make your experience representational of the objective truth. So I would really like to go back and touch on the fact, too, that this guy is claiming to be male to female transgender. But apparently all Jonathan actually does is cross-dress. To nothing. Although posted several videos of himself in girls' public bathrooms and various other things. And based on what I'm seeing here, evidently Jonathan is actually a bit of a sexual predator. Now, this Jessica Rumpel evidently is 20 years old now. And evidently has disclosed details to the Post-Millennial, this news outlet. This media outlet, I should refer. I guess, you know. But disclosed details to the Post-Millennial about their encounters with Jonathan, saying that she was just 14 years old at the time and was turning 15. And then shared a lot of these interactions. So at first, this is quoting, "At first I thought, you know, this guy seems to have some kind of mental issues of some sort. I didn't think he was a predator at first." Evidently, Yanov made contact through social media. Evidently, it was the social media site ask.fm, where people, including those who are anonymous, can ask questions of users and receive answers in short forms. And I've seen some of these extended when I also came across an article much earlier from Red State talking about the trans activist and is now wanting to host. And here's what really caught my attention here before, because, you know, we knew the ongoing bit about the Brazilian wax deal. Like I said, that's been ongoing. And with the removal of the gag order, stuff like this inappropriate behavior can now be public. But evidently, this individual, Jonathan, has applied for a permit to host a rather large event. A topless, no parents allowed swimming event for girls, girls as young as 12 years old. I kid you not. If you'll look in the slideshow today, if you're here at the home broadcasting platform, you know, we have the shows, the slideshow. I have three pictures associated with the story, and one of them is the actual permit request. So you can see that for yourself, as well as freaking Google it if you have any questions at this point. But as it reads from Red State, trans activist in Canada named Jessica Yadov, which, like I said, Jonathan wants to be Jessica, has been making some waves around the news as of late. He recently made headlines for filing a lawsuit to the British Columbia Human Rights Tribunal against 15 female aestheticians. And I probably will never say that word correct, but you know what I mean, who refused to give him a Brazilian wax due to their discomfort with handling male genitalia. According to a reporter over at Human Events, the lawsuit against these women for transphobia is quite the hot topic over at his media outlet. But according to the reporter, Yanov's depravity goes far deeper than forcing lawsuits against innocent women who displease him. According to a document uncovered by the reporter there, Yanov filed a request to appear before Langley City Council in order to discuss permission to host a swimming event for children as young as 12. Among the topic of discussion is that the girls who attend will be able to go topless. To make the event even creepier, Yanov also noted that parents and guardians will not be able to attend the swimming event. And I got to tell you, pretty far out there, right? So in other words, Yanov is asking the city of Langley if he can host an underage girls at a pool party where they'll be swimming half nude. Or, as a friend of mine on Facebook said, when I posted a link to this story, he changed the headline saying, pedophile asked for permission to commit sex crimes. And that's basically what I think is going on here. Now, I tend to agree with what they wrote here at Red State as well when they said that this should be blasted from every mainstream media outlet from Canada to China. However, due to Canada's overt obedience to social justice, naysaying a transgender person may not only land you in a status of public pariah, but it actually can land you in some legal and financial trouble, just like the ladies in the lawsuit who don't want to handle the guy's junk. They're in a heap of trouble because we've seen how these tribunals have worked. In any normal world, this kind of proposition would immediately be dismissed, and the person who proposed it would probably be investigated. However, in Canada, this is forced down the public's throat without much recourse. It's so bad that Yanov has posted in young women's bathrooms without any punishment from authorities or even social media platforms whatsoever. Judging from Yanov's reported texting history, this guy's clearly delusional and seems very interested in seeing young girls nude. There was no question. I do not understand how we've gotten to this point. I do not understand how this world that we live in has gotten this bad. Oh, Kel is actually correcting me in the chat room. So just to note that Lindsay Shepherd is not a feminist. And yes, I did get my wires crossed here. There have been other folks that he's went after that were. However, Lindsay Shepherd is the one that I was quoting from. So, Kel, thank you for the correction. He's fascinated with feminine hygiene products, too. Yeah, in fact, that also is one of the strange series of texts that has been shared as part of his history. I'm glad this is coming to light as we move to the final phase of this tribunal decision. But this guy is pretty much wackadoodle. I saw part of a, I'm guessing it was a texting session back and forth between somebody who was trying to be kind and he kept talking about how he was afraid he was going to start his period while he was off on an island. That's not something you have to worry about. You're a dude. Okay. Okay. So, I mean, there is our daily dose of insanity. And for those of you out there who may say, wow, that's crazy stuff going on in Canada, it's happening here too, folks. Okay. This is the insanity that we're dealing with. Every time you hear somebody taking up for biological males who are competing as girls in high school sports or whatever, we are still having the same exact discussion. Some of these people have no business engaging as they do publicly. It's just that simple. So I hope some sanity falls in place. And if we can get some sanity, we'll see what happens. In the meanwhile, it's time for some Edward's Notebook, and then the veterans song, well, the songs and stories veterans tip of the day. Songs and stories for soldiers. Maybe I'll spit it all out eventually. So you guys stay with me. We'll be right back, and we'll be changing the topic again shortly after my return. So hang on, and, you know, I'll be right back.
The New York Times. Most white leftists, Democrats, and their black American compadres only describe themselves when they label others as intolerant. Hello, I'm Ron Edwards. On today's page from the Edwards Notebook, Democrat leftists like Michigan Representative Tlaib, Representative Omar of Minnesota, Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts, and Ayok of New York are on a mad mission to fundamentally transform America into a leftist-oriented land of tyranny. Identity politics, not seeking real solutions to problems, is the fuel that runs the engine of their mangled minds full of twisted thoughts, consisting of hatred toward America and we the people who seek to maintain and improve upon our exceptional nation way of life. Not once have the foolish four recognized the good economic news for black Americans or women who have landed 60% of the new jobs created since the Trump tax cuts and deregulation efforts were enacted. Representative Presley's suggestion that there is a singular brown or black voice with which we should all speak reeks of the intolerance, ignorance, and racism she claims to fight. Actually, the only thing she and her compadres are fighting against is America. I'm Ron Edwards. Join me live Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on AmericaMatters.us.
Ron Edwards, the new voice of America.
Sponsored by the Tri-County Liberty Coalition.
This is Dan Perkins from Songs and Stories for Soldiers with your Veterans Tip of the Day. Have you noticed that interest rates on home loans have dropped at least 1% in the last 6 months? Did you miss the opportunity to refi your home mortgage the last time interest rates were heading lower? Here's your Veterans Tip of the Day. Get focused and know the facts of your existing mortgage. So go to the safe or the shoebox, wherever you have important papers, and look through it and find your mortgage. Next, look through it and find out these three things. When did you take out the loan? The year. How much did you borrow? The amount. And what is the interest rate? Percentage. Write this down on a sticky and put it on the fridge and start looking at bankrate.com for mortgage interest rate. If the new rate is 1% or more lower than the rate on the fridge, start looking at a refi. Remember, a refi puts money in your pocket. This has been Dan Perkins with your Veterans Tip of the Day.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for staying with me through that very brief break. Just as a program reminder, for Wednesday night's live show, I am scheduled to be joined in the first hour by Mr. Dan Perkins. And then for the majority of the second hour, Ron Edwards will be with us. And we'll, of course, I imagine a conversation that will be dominated. Yep. So, switched speed kind of laggy a bit. As soon as this finishes on, I'll welcome you in. I push the that's all I know to do here. Let's see if it's going to open your mic up. Let me try refreshing the whole freaking page here. Maybe that'll get her done. And as we do that, now I will hit. And now the mic is open. So Joe, let me welcome you yet again. And thanks for calling. How are you this evening?
I'm doing all right. Thank you, brother, for allowing me on the podcast here. I gave a shout out to you on my podcast the other night, actually, your show, Tap in the Truth, and Global Patriot Network also. Great podcast you guys do. But, you know, we're still arguing about Republican Democrat, and that's the problem I always bring up. And if you read quotes from the Federalist Papers, Thomas Jefferson, for instance, it's a very short quote. The following has been long attributed, to Thomas Jefferson, we could read it. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their money, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around them, around the banks, will deprive the people of their property. Okay. Until their children will wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. And that's our founding fathers. And it goes on long and long, the Federalist Papers. But what I'm trying to say is that the central banks out there, now I want to ask you as the host of this podcast, do you really believe Iran, the videos that they showed on fake Fox News, I call it Fox News or CNN, you really believe that some helicopter flew over an oil tanker and eight men dropped down and they hijacked the oil tanker with a crew that they said that had 22 people, actually an oil tanker of that size. I believe that oil tanker was about 124 feet and by 62 feet. So if you look in a maritime law and oil tankers, usually a crew is about 250 to 275 people. But you really believe Iran, they dropped eight men down, and that video there with the guy saluting like an American soldier. I don't know if you saw that, the guy wearing the black mask on Fox News. You really believe that Iran hijacked the British tanker? You really believe that? This is the fake corporate news media constantly that is controlled and owned by the same money that your politicians are controlled by, which is the Federal Reserve central banker money changers, okay? Because the United States Treasury has no issuance of currency in this country ever since the year 1913. But we can go back, and we can go back to the Acts of 1871. We can go back to the 52nd Congressional Record where they don't talk about slavery at all during the Civil War, but that's a whole other topic. But anyway, you really believe that Iran, their tiny little one helicopter and their little speedboats hijacked this big oil tanker, from England. Yeah, New Britain, actually, and they're holding a hostage. You really believe what Fox News is telling you? And this is what I'm trying to get at is, if you really believe that, I got some land to sell you in Florida. I got about 20 acres. I'll give it to you for $200. Call me after the show. Come on. You know, what it is, folks, is that we are all being bamboozled, okay? Just like your currency you have, that your $1 bill, open it up. Why is there an owl in the right-hand corner? Take a magnifying glass, look it up. There's an owl in the right-hand corner. why do you have an Egyptian pyramid on your $1 bill? And on the bottom of it, it says Novus Ordo Seclorum. Why? What? What does Novus Ordo Seclorum mean? It means New World Order. And on the top of it, it means crown success. It's a Greek word. Look it up. Okay? The Federal Reserve controls our currency. They control everything we do. They control the corporations. They control Wall Street that bought you the day you were born. And the thing of it is that we're arguing here tonight. I was listening to the podcast and Global Patriot Network. Donald Trump, the Democrats, the Republicans. Look, folks, we need to stop fighting over this and really understand what's really going on. Look, the same money funds both sides. Simple as that. Bernie Sanders is a nobody. Now, we know Donald Trump will most likely win in 2020. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you right now, from what I've seen, because Donald Trump is creating disorder to create a new world order. Now, look, I love Donald Trump because, I mean, the guy's great. I mean, he just says what he means. I mean, he's out there saying what he means, and he's on Twitter. I mean, I follow him on Twitter. He's one of my Twitter friends, actually. And he says he's like JFK. And it's hard to shoot a president in the head like they did back then with JFK when the driver turned around and blew JFK's head off. All you got to do is look at the Zapruder film and look at, you know, and watch it. Lee Harvey Oswald didn't kill JFK. We know that. Come on. You know, it's common sense. Anyone who knows anything about the military or who's ever been a sniper in the military knows you can't. It's impossible. But anyway, today it's impossible to kill a president without, because everyone's got cell phones, everyone's watching everything, even the reporters, you see them when they're asking Donald Trump questions, they're there, bah, 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 staring at him with their cell phones. So it's impossible to assassinate Donald Trump. But what they're doing is, the corporate media, is they're assassinating him through, you know, he's a racist, blah, 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 blah. And they're what the Federal Reserve is doing, you see, the Federal Reserve owns CNN. The Federal Reserve owns Fox News. The Federal Reserve owns C-SPAN, okay? The Federal Reserve owns Spectrum. The Federal Reserve owns Time Warner, which is now Spectrum, by the way. And we can go on and on and on, and we could dialogue this all day long and take 2 hours going back. But the point of it is, look, folks, this is a corporation. You don't vote on what aisle the milk is in Walmart, right? When Walmart makes a decision to put what aisle the milk is in, you have no say-so. You're just a customer there. You're just a customer for the District of Criminals. Your vote don't count at all, at all. The politicians are only put there to make you think you have a choice. You don't. You have no choice. They don't care about you. They don't listen to you. I don't care, Nancy Pelosi. I don't care about the guy from South Carolina, whatever the hell his name is, the Republican guy. I don't care. They don't care about you, these people. They're laughing at you because we're fighting amongst each other, race, religion, politics. We're destroying ourselves until we wake up, you know, and get back to the foundations of what did I talk about before I started talking here? Thomas Jefferson. Until I read something from the Federalist Papers, and I've got 1,000 of them in front of me right now. Yeah, until we restore our republic, and we do it lawfully, and I recommend we do that. I'm not advocating violence on this show here, but you know what? At this time, we see that our society is so broken. We're morally bankrupt. We're dumbed down. We're stupid. We're too big. I mean, just for God's sake, just stare at people at a restaurant. And, you know, you see a wife and a husband sitting at a table. They're staring at their dumb phones instead of talking to each other. And their kids are running around the table hanging each other. I mean, surely all of you out there know what I'm talking about. You get it. You understand. The thing of it is, until we restore our republic and God's and look, God is our foundation, and our founding fathers understood God. They were surely blessed. They took on the greatest military in the world at that time, and they were surely blessed. But the thing of it is, what are we doing here today? I mean, we're going after Iran. We're getting ready to go to World War III. I mean, because, you know, if we attack Iran, the Russians own most of the nuclear power plants in Iran. And what are we doing here? You know, what's going on? I mean, you see what happened. South Korea is shooting warning. They're flying up, getting ready to attack Russian planes. And we got Hong Kong. They're going crazy over there. France, you got riots over there. You got Puerto Rico, riots over there. You got Venezuela in chaos. Doesn't this sound kind of like what the Bible talks about? Doesn't it? I mean, isn't this the end times that we're seeing happen right before our very eyes? You know, but he exalteth a nation that is righteous. You know, if my people will hear me, I will heal that nation, God says. But America, and we see what's happening in America, where, you know, you got four women dividing the entire country right now, you know, dividing the country, you know, and calling Donald Trump a racist, this and that. We're dividing each other. You know, and the Bible says in the end times, women will rule over their men, you know. And I'm not saying women are, you know, the women shouldn't have a say-so, but if you read your Bible and you understand, you go back, and you have to understand we're a Judeo-Christian society and understand the Baptists that founded this country and rightly and be a theologian and understand the New World Order and get it, you'll understand what I'm talking about. I'm not saying women should shut up and just not say anything. I'm not saying that. No. But in the end times, women will rule over their men. You know, what do you got? You got women that say, you know, I have control of my own body. I can kill a baby if I want. Come on, man. That's common sense. Science, I mean, even if the Bible discredits science, but, you know, we can get an issue of abortion. You know, we can get to a lot of issues. The fact of the matter that I'm trying to bring here is, what are we talking about here? Are we going to come together as a people and really come together and realize the foundations of our country together? Or are we going to continue to be divided and talk about, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat? There's no such thing. There's no such thing in America, because our country was hijacked ever since the acts of 1871. Until we restore what everyone cares about, which is money and a bartering system that controls us, we need to end the Fed first. And like good old Aaron Russo used to say, and I remember, you know, and not, and I'll bring, not take up too much more of your time, host. Aaron Russo said, look, I remember watching this documentary of his, and he said, look, we got a lot of issues facing us as a people. But if we focus like a laser beam on the money changers, and you know Jesus, the only time he used force during his ministry was when he whipped the money changers out of the temple. If we focus on these money changers, Andrew Jackson, what was his campaign slogan? What was Andrew Jackson's campaign slogan? Does anyone know? No bank. No bank. Okay? And that these people understood the central bankers, these Rothschilds, these Carnegies, these J.P. Morgans, these people out there. And I don't want to hear about Jews and all that stuff. That's nonsense. That's hate. And we're not trying to promote hate here. Okay? What I'm trying to say is you have to understand these money changers and research this stuff and get back to the foundations and what we were built upon as a country. If we could do that, if we could do that on this radio show and my show and Global Patriot Network and other blog talk shows, because, look, we got the Internet at our hands, don't we, brother? I mean, and sisters out there, we got the Internet at our hands. We got Facebook. We got Twitter. We got LinkedIn. We got it right out. They call it the information age, don't they? But all we see is disinformation, don't we? You know, so why don't we use that to come together as a people and put aside our differences, focus like a laser beam. What's important? All of us got to pay our electric bill. All of us got to make our car payment. All of us got jobs. We need our paychecks. Focus on our monetary system first and heed the warnings of our founding fathers of this country. And I don't want to hear about the black people out there. I'm getting messages right now. You know, our founding fathers own slaves. Look, the founding fathers had a great idea, and they knew that one day America would overcome that. Nobody should be enslaved. You're right. We all have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Okay? And isn't that awesome? The second greatest document ever written was the Constitution. The first document is the King James Bible. That's what I believe, and that's what I believe the founders believed through the Federalist Papers and the Constitution. So back to you, sir. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak on your podcast. I really appreciate that.
All right. Just so everybody knows, especially since this is one of the weekly shows that also gets played during the rebroadcast on terrestrial radio, let everybody know where they can find you at.
Well, thank you so much. Understanding the times in which we live in today is the title of my show, and I know a lot of people are jealous of that. I mean, isn't that a great title? Understanding the times in which we live in today. blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson. Thank you so much for allowing me to do that on your show. I really appreciate that, and I love your listeners, and I love you for allowing me to speak, and I really do. I hope you come on my podcast sometime, because I will give you the floor just like you gave me the floor. I give you my word as a man.
Well, I appreciate that, Joe, and I do have your number. I have not forgotten that I have promised that I would reach out to you, and I do still plan on it, but, brother, you know how life gets sometimes. It gets crazy, and I've been in the middle of it.
Yeah, I know. We all live busy lives, right, brother? We all do.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
Times are speeding up, but back when we were kids, right, during the 1980s, we had time for each other. Back in the 1990s, we had time for each other. But today, we don't have time for each other. We're all too busy. You know, you made a great point right there, you know?
Yes, sir. All right, thank you for calling in. As always, I appreciate it. And we will get together on that. I give you my word, we will. As soon as I can get some time squared away. But, again, thanks for calling, Joe.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Joe Gibson. Host of Understanding the Times in Which We Live in Today. Long title, but great title. And plenty of great points being made. And you know what? Part of what we do, though, you know, he does talk about we do need to end the fighting and the division. But I think a lot of us try and we do things in the effort to educate our friends, our neighbors, our cohorts, and those who may be slightly on the other side who are victims of indoctrination and all those. We sometimes take tacks where we end up dividing further, even though that's not our intention. But sometimes I think it's really important that we also utilize information to awaken people, let them understand what is going on and who these people are. A good example is a couple of the stories in the show description that I'm not going to have a whole heck of a lot of time to really get into now, but I'll give you the highlights. And it has to do with one of our favorite members of the Four Horsemen of the Democratic Apocalypse, the Jihad Squad, Miss Ilhan Omar. She had this kind of a blowout, quite honestly. She kind of exploded at an audience member who asked her to condemn female genital mutilation. And, of course, in asking her to condemn it, they said that it, of course, would be powerful if she did. Now, Omar's response, well, she said it was that she was disgusted by the question and that it was a waste of time. We have to wonder why she would believe that's a waste of time if there's not some merit to it. Of course, it'd be powerful if someone who's so openly and obviously a devout Muslim would speak out against the rather barbaric practice. But just not going to do it. Now, the president of Muslims for Progressive Values asked Omar, quote, will you be able to make a statement against FGM, because that's an issue in Detroit, and it would be really powerful if the two of us were to come out and openly make the statement against it. So wanted to just kind of come together, wanted to make a statement, wanted to unify, be on the same team. One of the few occasions where that might even have been the case. Now, what was the reaction? Oh, no, 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 we can't do this. I can't do this. You disgust me. The president of Progressive the president of Muslims for Progressive Values wanted both Omar and Rashid Tlaib to come forward and make the statement. Omar responded to the appalling question by saying, quote, "Should I make a schedule? Like, does this need to be on repeat every 5 minutes? Should I be like, so today I forgot to condemn Al-Qaeda? So here's the Al-Qaeda one. Today I forgot to condemn female genital mutilation, so here it goes. Today I forgot to condemn Hamas, so here it goes." It's a very frustrating question that comes up. Well, maybe the reason why it's so frustrating, Omar, is you keep talking about condemning and condemning and condemning every day. Nobody's heard you actually condemn any of those things. We haven't heard you condemn Al-Qaeda. We haven't heard you condemn anyone other than Israel. You're certainly plenty of anti-Semitic, but we've never heard you condemn Hamas. You ignore the question. We haven't even heard you condemn domestic terrorism committed in this country by Antifa. Why? Because you won't, Representative Omar. You won't. You will not. That is who you are. And that is also why an ethics complaint has been filed against Ilhan Omar. Also another one of the stories which I have absolutely no time to go into at this point, but important for you to know. And we may, if time allows, revisit both these stories further this week. But an ethics complaint has been filed against Ilhan Omar by Judicial Watch. They filed a complaint with the House of Representatives Office of Congressional Ethics for potential immigration, marriage, tax, and student loan fraud. So the student loan thing is something that is kind of new. I had not heard that. So, you know, there we have it. Anyway, I'm pretty much out of time at this point, but you know what? That's what I get for just doing an hour on Tuesdays. That's all I need to make sure everybody at KYAH and everybody at WCET has their Monday through Friday fix. In the meanwhile, I want to thank everybody for being here, especially everybody hanging out in the chat room. That includes Bigfoot, Joe Gisson, Kel Fritzy, Chief from Simple Facts of Life, and Vorpal Bite. Thanks to all you guys for being here live, and thanks to all of you out there listening, wherever you're listening at and however you're listening. Reminder again, the live show broadcast again starting tomorrow at 7. Scheduled guests are Dan Perkins and Ron Edwards. And remember, don't take my word for it. Definitely, definitely don't take their word for it. Be prepared to put in some effort, but more importantly, to use your brain if you really want to tap into the truth. I'm out, everybody. See you tomorrow. Just a little squirrel.
is using both hands.
Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep. Stalin, Hitler, Mao Amin, and Pol Pot, they told us things that you never forgot.
Is using both hands.
Well, I prefer the 308 to the tiny 223. Gives me more than 1,000 yards to protect my family.
Using both hands.